Sairam, let me begin by offering my prayerful and grateful salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet. And this is the first time, frankly, I am doing an online satsang from my own room. And as you mentioned about the 2014 trip to Sri Lanka, I very fondly remember the different places that Bhagwan took me in Sri Lanka, right from Vavuniya to Jaffna to Batticaloa to Kandy to Colombo. And I remember how the centers in Jaffna were so huge. I was really stunned to see the number of devotees in Sri Lanka. It almost seemed like a majority of the Tamilians there are Bhagwan's devotees. So it was for me a very, very heartening and very revealing experience. The reason I'm mentioning this is, recently I had the opportunity to be in Nepal. And like Sri Lanka, Nepal too has such a vibrant Sai movement. Nepal has nearly 224 centers, and every center is a huge one. And as I traveled to various parts of Nepal, one thing that I noticed, which was very heartening for me, is that they were chanting Gayatri Mantra in all the centers, in all the schools, in all the centers. In fact, even before the corona disaster started, they have been chanting Gayatri Mantra in every center before the bhajan sessions for 15 minutes. And a lot of people individually, collectively also have been doing this chanting there. And this is something that I saw in every part of Nepal. And today, if you look at the numbers of COVID cases, India has about 500 and so, Nepal has about 102, and Sri Lanka has 102, and Nepal is just 2. There are only just 2 cases confirmed in Nepal, even though Nepal is twice as big as Sri Lanka. And I don't know about the other reasons. One thing that we also have to remember is Nepal shares nearly 1400 kilometers with China. And it is really susceptible to the infection. But something has protected this country. Somehow, even though it has 1400 kilometers of border with China and 1700 kilometers of borders with India, it has not been severely affected. In fact, I left Nepal on March 21st, and on 23rd, 2 days after that, you know, there was one confirmed case. I am mentioning this because to me, it seems like this country, at least till now, has been so protected because of the Gayatri Mantra. There could be many other reasons, but one thing that appealed to me and that sort of was obvious to me, and this is what they told me also, that they have been doing this for very long now, and not just for to protect themselves, they have been doing this for the world. And when you do something with that selfless nature for the world, you know, God definitely looks after you also. So to me, in a way, this is the power of chanting this mantra, and nations can be protected, societies can be protected, because this mantra was given to us by Bhagwan through Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra means who is a friend of the world. Vishwamitra, Mitra is friend and Vishwa is the world. So to me, I think this is a time we should spend more energies in chanting this mantra, because this mantra can definitely protect us. When we want to achieve something at the worldly level. We want a promotion or we want to achieve a degree. We want to go ahead and secure a job. We need worldly intelligence. We need different kind of resources, financial, intellectual, and so on. I feel when we want spiritual grace, we need a different spiritual power and spiritual energy, spiritual muscle. And Swami says the Gayatri Mantra can give you that spiritual power. And the good thing about it is this mantra can give you things which are spiritual as well as things which are physical. There are any number of instances I know where people have got their jobs, people have got better marks, students have secured well. There have been times when someone found their lost family member, found a lost baggage and so on by chanting the Gayatri Mantra. But at the same time, this is the mantra that has helped people to get the grace of God, to be protected by God. And this is the time I feel that we should make the most of this opportunity to chant this mantra individually, regularly, collectively. In fact, my mind goes back to the experience of a brother. He works now in the Central Trust. Many years ago, he was doing his engineering in Chennai and he always had this desire to become close to Swami, to earn the grace. So one day in the dream, he saw that Bhagwan is giving darshan and he is sitting in the darshan lines. And as Bhagwan came near him, Swami somehow did not look at him and Swami moved forward. And the brother was very disappointed in the dream. So he immediately got up and he asked Swami, "Swami, please talk to me. Swami, please talk to me." And Swami stopped, looked at him and said, "But you don't have any spiritual power. You don't have any energy," Swami said. So the boy immediately asked, "Swami, what should I do? How can I get this energy so that I can get your grace, so that you will talk to me?" Swami said, "Chant the Gayatri Mantra." And the brother had the presence of mind. In the dream, he again asked, "Swami, how many times should I chant?" And Swami said, "Chant 108 times. And this brother, from that day, started chanting this mantra 108 times. And eventually, his dream of becoming a Sai student got fulfilled. And he became a student of MBA in Prashanthi Nilayam. Now he thought, "Let me experiment this mantra." After he became a student, you know, he was enjoying Bhagwan's proximity. But when Bhagwan, for some reason, distanced himself and Swami was not talking to him, and again he started feeling that distance from Swami, he just remembered how Bhagwan had earlier directed him to chant the mantra. And so one day, sitting in the darshan line, sitting along with the boys in the mandir, he thought, "Let me chant the mantra, because now Swami is not talking to me. Maybe the mantra will help me to get the grace of Bhagwan." And so, sitting in the mandir, he started chanting the mantra. Swami had given darshan and Swami was inside the interview room. And he started chanting 5 times, 10 times, and it went on 15, 20, 25. And now he closed his eyes and he started chanting very sincerely. And he chanted 40 times, 50 times, 60 times. But Swami was still inside the interview room. 70, 80, 90. He finished chanting 100 times, but there was nothing that was happening outside. He finished chanting 102, 103, 104. And now he was so lost in chanting the mantra that, you know, he forgot what is happening in mandir. When he finished chanting the 107th time, suddenly the interview room door opened. Door opened and Swami came out, and Swami came onto the portico and Swami looked at him straight. He just finished chanting the 108th line, the Gayatri Mantra, and Swami looked at him straight, and Swami smiled and asked, "What is your name?" So this is the power and the pull of the Gayatri Mantra. And I am so happy, and it's so encouraging to see that even before the session started, we were listening to the Gayatri chant in Bhagwan's voice. In fact, this is one mantra which Bhagwan himself has chanted, and he has showed us how to chant. And if we follow the exact intonations, the way Bhagwan has chanted,
Varko Devasya Dhimahi Riyo Yona Prachodayat.
I think we should follow the exact intonations, because all these Vedic mantras, they are not like songs or bhajans that you can give it a tune and chant it however you want. They have to be chanted exactly in that same manner. So when we chant this, let us pay careful attention to how Swami has chanted. Because the Vedic mantras, when it is chanted the right way, then they acquire a lot of power. Sometimes when it's chanted wrongly, they will be ineffective or even damaging. But you know, Swami knows our heart. I mean, nothing wrong will ever happen to us. But it is always better if we listen to how Bhagwan has chanted and chant it exactly the same way.
Varko Devasya Dhimahi Riyo Yona Prachodayat.
In fact, by chanting this mantra, our students in the higher secondary school have secured their results in flying colors. In fact, it was an experiment that was done in the higher secondary school. And even though our students study only for 1.5 hours, 2 hours per day, by chanting this mantra, it has improved their IQ, it has improved their intelligence and their memory to such an extent that today, even if they spend only 1.5 hours of studies, they are among the 10 best schools in the country. So I think this is a time to intensify our prayers. You know, when I was thinking about what we can do for the current epidemic, I was reminded of Hiranyakashipu. If you go to the Puranas and if you see the Narasimha avatar, what happened was Hiranyakashipu was a demon, and the demon was so dangerous because Hiranyakashipu had got this power and the boon that he cannot be killed by a man or an animal. He cannot be killed during the day or during the night. He cannot be killed by sword, by arrow, by mace, by chakra, by hand. So there were so many conditions. He had this kind of power that there is no way one can kill Hiranyakashipu. All the mankind and the gods were clueless how to deal with such a demon, because he has so many powers. And today if you look at the virus is such because the virus continuously mutates, the virus continuously adapts to new surroundings. And if you look at the Purana, what happened? Finally, it was the prayer of Prahlada. When Prahlada made that prayer with absolute faith, even though Prahlada was thrown from the mountains and he was trampled by elephants and he was sent to poisonous snakes and everything, only thing Prahlada did was believed in Narayana, and he sincerely prayed for the Lord. And his prayer was so powerful that God came down in the form of Lord Narasimha. And we know how after that the demon was annihilated. So to me, it seems like this is a time to intensify our prayers. What prayers can do, science can never do. Science can only achieve so much at the physical level, but prayers can clean the world at the physical, metaphysical, psychological and spiritual level. So I think social distancing, yes, will help to prevent this disaster, but souls pining, if there is a lot of people pining and praying for the welfare of the world like Prahlada did, then definitely I am sure and we can see how the grace of the divine will fall on us, and Swami will send a solution which will lead to the peace and happiness of the entire world. After I came back from Nepal, I was advised to be at home, to be on self-quarantine because I had traveled outside. And so for the last few days, I am at home. And now this is something that is advised to everyone. And many times we feel, okay, what do we do at home? So many days at home. How do we spend our time? It becomes very boring. It becomes very uninteresting. You know, we feel there is nothing that we can do and it's so frustrating. Let me remind you of something that happened to me more than 10 years ago. I was down with an infection, and so actually I was in the hospital for more than 6 months, and then I came home and Swami did not give me work for more than 3 years. So after I finished my MBA, I was so sure that Swami will give me a job, because since the time I joined Bhagwan school, I never had any other thought than to serve in his institutions. And I was very confident for this reason that Swami will somehow give me some job. I thought it will definitely happen. And I took it very lightly, in a way that, you know, I thought it's okay, I don't have to even pray, I don't even have to ask, because Swami will give it to me. And actually it happened that way. Swami himself saw me and Swami asked, did you finish your MBA? What are you doing now? And you have to go and serve in my hospital in Whitefield. And that is how, just a few days after I finished my MBA, and Swami put me to work in the super speciality hospital in Whitefield. And as I was working there, after 1 year of working in the hospital, suddenly I fell sick, because it was a lot of work in the first year of the hospital. So we were really working from morning 6 a.m. to night 10, 12. There was a lot of strain probably, and I fell sick. And now when I fell sick, and now of course Swami took care and I recovered, but now after I recovered, Swami was not giving me a job. And it went on for months and months and months, not 6 months, not 1 year. It went on for 2 years. Every day I would just pray, pray, pray and ask Swami, please give me a job. Please give me some work to do, because I was pining to get back and do some work, become part of his mission in some way. But Swami kept delaying. Swami kept saying that, okay, I will give you a job after Guru Purnima, and Guru Purnima would be over, then again I will sit with a letter and Swami say, okay, no, I'll give you a job after Krishna Janmashtami. And Krishna Janmashtami will be over and I will again pray. Swami say, no, no, see, now there are a lot of preparations happening for birthday. I will give you a job after birthday. So birthday again will be over, and then again I will sit, and Swami say, no, see, a lot of devotees have come from foreign. Now there's Christmas happening. So I'll give you a job after Christmas. And Christmas will be over, and then Swami say, no, no, after then Uttarayana, that is a good time, and I'll give you a job after that. So I will sit and again ask after that. Swami will say, no, 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 now Shivratri, a lot of people are coming. I'll be busy now, I'll give you a job after that. Shivratri will go, and then Swami will say, oh, I'm going to Vrindavan now. After the summer when I come, I'll give you. And then he would come back, and then he would not again look at me. And so, you know, like this, it went on and on for nearly three and a half years I did not have work, and every day I used to come and I used to pine and I used to cry. Every single day I slept crying for a chance to serve, and that did not happen. And only then I realized how earlier, when Swami was giving me that chance to work, I really took it so lightly. I thought, anyway, Swami will give me a job. I did not really undergo that penance. I did not undergo that kind of prayer, intense prayer to get that job. And now Swami was teaching me that if you take the chance to work for God lightly, you are going to pay for it heavily. And that was a call for me to understand how precious it is. For whatever chance that Swami has given us, we don't know how important, how significant this opportunity that we have. From all the people in the world to be part of Sai Mission, to have got this chance to do something and become part of Bhagwan's world, Sai family. So I feel that let us never ever miss this chance, never miss this chance and never take it lightly. If you have got this chance to do something for Bhagwan, to become part of the mission, if you take it lightly, you are going to pay for it heavily. And that was one, for me, a moment of revelation. It came to me after 3.5 years that Swami finally gave me a chance to work in Radio Sai. But when that happened, you know, it happened so beautifully, because all these days when I was just sitting at home and I was not able to do anything, I was not able to join any institution, by Swami's grace, I did not waste that time. I'm someone who has to keep doing something or the other. So I used to have a discipline during those years when I was in the hospital or at home. So every day, you know, I would have a session for morning prayer. So after I finished my bath and breakfast, then I would say I could chant Vishnu Sahasranam or Lalita Sahasranam, and then some reading. And after that, after lunch, again, I would rest for a little while. But after that, again, I would have a schedule to chant the Sahasranam, and then I would do again some reading, some writing, then again I would chant. So my whole day was a very, very disciplined life of sadhana as well as reading, writing, and constantly trying to think about Swami and constantly praying. So it was reading, writing, praying, and falling into a discipline. And once I had this discipline, I never was bored, because every day I had these things to do. There was not a moment of gap, not a moment of rest. Like just like in the hostel, when you join Swami's hostel, you have no time to think anything else because the schedule is so packed, one thing after the other. So I feel these are times when we can bring in some discipline into our life. We have a lot of time. Let us not lose that time. Let us see how we can discipline our lives and use that time first to have a schedule. And let's stick to this schedule. Let's try to follow a schedule where we sleep early and we get up early and we have a mandated hours of praying. And praying for the whole world is the best thing that we can do. And mandated hours of thinking about Swami, learning about Swami. That is one. The second thing that we can do, first is discipline about your life. Second thing that we can do is discover. Discover our new interests, discover our talents, discover so many things about ourselves. For example, these 3 years when I was not doing anything, that was the time I spent in doing a lot of reading. I always felt that I had it in me to write. I always felt that I had it in me to speak, but I was never that kind of a speaker or a writer when I was a student. But these 3 years, when I kept reading, it really helped me to such an extent that finally when Swami gave me the chance to join Radio Sai in 2004, at that time there was a person needed to look after the Radio Sai journal. We used to have heart to heart, the Radio Sai journal, and the person who was doing it left. And I seamlessly became the editor of that journal. You know, these 3 years now when I look back, were the preparatory phase for me. If I had not gone through those 3 years of continuous reading and writing, I could have not just joined as an editor of the journal at Radio Sai. So I feel one way to look at it is now the opportunity that we are getting is preparing us for something beautiful that is going to come. So it is not a moment of pain, it is a moment which can be turned into gain, which will turn our life in such a way that our life will never be the same again. But for that, we have to spend time and utilize the time. In fact, this was the time when I looked at the Central Trust website and I felt the website needs a complete revamp. I was sitting at home. So I started writing the entire content of the Central Trust website. And eventually, with the help of some friends, I got a website done. Similarly, I went to the higher secondary school and I asked the principal, can I redo the prospectus? The school did not have a big prospectus. I completely wrote the prospectus of the school. We did a website for the school. So all these things, I just did it voluntarily. And a lot of these things can be just done sitting at home, online. I was, again, since he was recovering, I could not go out much. But since I had done all this work, when finally Swami gave me the chance to work in Radio Sai, everything proved to be so useful. Now, whenever I go through any pain or if there's any setback, I know that this is not a setback. This is a stepping stone. This is something which is preparing me for something bigger, something which is preparing me for something beautiful that is going to happen. In fact, even this trip to Nepal, it happened in such a way that I got only 24 hours to get ready and leave for the trip. And at every stage, I could see how Bhagwan was holding our hand and protecting us. In fact, I came in the last flight. I came on 21st and 22nd, all the flights from this country, from Nepal to India were stopped. All the border was stopped. So after I came back, the first case was detected. In fact, I can go on to share with you how once we keep our focus on him and we don't miss this chance to serve him and take up any adversity only as an opportunity to think that, okay, if I'm going through this pain, there is definitely that something Swami wants me to learn, something Swami is telling me and making me. It is this adversity is not to break me, but it is only to make me. It is only making me stronger. It is only giving me an opportunity to become better. I think if we have this perspective, we will see that, you know, this is a God-sent opportunity. Like so many people now, they're spending so much time with their families. You know, they're spending time with their children, spending time with their parents, which is such a huge boon for everyone. So I think this is Bhagwan's way of making us do many things that we never had that time to do. So first thing, what we can do is to discipline our life. Take this opportunity to bring in discipline into our life. Second is to discover our talents. In fact, it was during these 3 years that I discovered I can really write, that I can sing, I can write, I can actually compare. There's so many things. Everything that I'm doing now was only because of those 3 years. And I discovered what was in me in the form of Swami's gifts. So discipline, discover, and the third is to devote time to service. Now, the best way to lift ourselves when we are in pain is to lift someone else. You know, when you lift someone else, automatically you feel lifted. Whenever we are sad or whenever we are depressed or whenever we are down, we expect someone to come and help us. We expect someone to come and take care of us. We expect someone to come and look after us. But I feel the best thing to do to feel uplifted is you go out and see what you can do to help others. If you can do that, you will automatically see that your life is getting uplifted. And this is what I did when I was in the hospital. I remember one day, one little boy joined in the hospital in the neighboring room. So I was in one isolation room. He was in another room. And so in this hospital ward, and this boy was a little boy, probably he was in the primary school, maybe fifth or sixth standard. And this boy was alone. So when I came to know that there is a little boy, a nurse told me this boy is feeling alone. So I used to go and spend time with this boy. And this boy started coming to my room. And in my room, there were a lot of books and comics that so many people had given me. And so together, I used to sit with him and I used to read and explain. I used to spend so much time with him. And somebody also gave a little TV. So we used to watch so many Ramayana and Mahabharata serials together. So all that time, I thought that, you know, let me do something to make this boy feel good, because this boy's parents had not yet come. The parents were in a location which will take them 2-3 days to come. So those 3-4 days, I spent so much time. When the parents came after some time, and the parents asked, so how are you? What did the doctor say? And the boy said, there was one blue doctor, and that blue doctor took care of me so well. And the parents were searching, who is the blue doctor, who is the blue doctor, there was no blue doctor. And finally they came to my room, because we were in blue dress, in the patient dress. And, you know, I shared so much with him that the boy actually thought that I am a doctor, because I had spent so much time and I showered so much love on him. You know, for me that was a great moment. I felt so happy. Even though I was in the hospital, I felt I could do something for someone. So I felt, when we are down, you know, there are so many things that we can do sitting at home. We can pray. We can do so many things online. We can definitely help so many things. We can help create a website. There are a million ways that we can utilize, and especially in these days, do things online to help people, to help the organization. So I think if we see how some part of the day we can devote to service, to sacrifice, to selfless service and selfless sacrifice, we will see that our lives are getting uplifted. It will boost our happiness. It will boost our immunity. And we will definitely feel protected. And the moment you are selfless, you receive the grace of God. The grace of God is directly proportional to how pure and how selfless we are. If we can utilize this chance to discipline our lives, discover our talents and our interests and sharpen them, and devote time to helping others in our own way, if we cannot do anything else, just sit and pray. If we can even do this, we have no idea how we are helping the world. And fourth, as you do this, what will happen is you will slowly begin to delight in your own self. Many a times when we are alone, we feel lonely. I feel once we are Swami's devotees, we should never ever feel lonely, because who feels lonely who has no one with them? When we know that Swami is with us, and once we have that conviction, I will tell you that you can convert all your moments of loneliness into great moments of solitude. We don't have to ever feel sad that no one is talking to me, or you should never even feel like that, because you should feel that, no, I have to talk to someone, I have to help someone, and when I'm alone, I should just be with my Swami, because Swami is always with me. I can just close my eyes and I can think about that darshan. I can close my eyes and I can think about that one beautiful moment that I have had with Swami. I can close my eyes and read one Swami's book and then contemplate on that darshan. I can discover so much of bliss just within me. Once, so many times, you know, we don't even have the time to sit and pause and think where we are, what we are doing, where is our sadhana. Because ultimately, to grow on the spiritual path, Swami says, it is not just bhajans and darshan and seva that will help you to grow on the spiritual path. To grow on the spiritual path, we have to do self-enquiry. Self-enquiry means constantly to ask ourselves, how much have I controlled my anger? How much have I controlled my desires? How peaceful I am? You know, the best way to know how devoted I am, they say the best measure of our bhakti is how much of shanti I am experiencing in my heart. If I am experiencing peace in my heart, it means that I am devoted to the Lord. If I am all the time agitated, it means that I am not devoted to the Lord. So this is a time to find that joy within. We don't need an outside person. See, we might have 100 people around us, but still we might feel incomplete. But if there is one person, if the Swami is with us, even if there is no one with us, we will feel fully complete. And we need this completeness in our lives. They say that in the US, 45% of the people above the age of 45 are feeling lonely. And because they are feeling lonely, they are succumbing to so many diseases. But we as Sai devotees, we should never ever feel lonely. We should feel so full of Swami that not only are we happy, but we can go out and help anyone who needs that help. Just now I was reading today in Vishakhapatnam, some devotees have got together and sitting in their homes, they have made 1 lakh masks for people because there is dire need of masks in these times. My own colleague who was with me in Nepal 10 days, he came back, he's sitting in his home and he is making masks. You know, he can make 30-40 masks, but that is what he is doing. You know, so making masks is not important, but thinking about Swami and thinking what can I do for the others and finding that peace within. So we should utilize this opportunity to first bring discipline into our lives, discover our interest. If you can play, if you can sing, if you can learn a musical instrument, if you can paint, if you can do coding, if you like a subject but you never had the time to read, there are so many online courses. So there are so many things that we can do for the organization, for our own self, for our family. So let us utilize this time to discover all those interests and talents. Third, let us devote some part of this time for others. Let's do something so that we are uplifting the world in our own little way. And the fourth, let us delight in ourselves. Because there will come so many times in our life that no one will be with us. We might have a family, we might have children, we might have a spouse, we might have parents. But there will be so many times in our life that we have to look after ourselves. Nobody is going to be with us all the time, everywhere. The only person who will be with us all the time, everywhere, our best friend, is Swami. So this is the time to strengthen that bond with Swami. And I feel this is a beautiful chance that Swami has given to all of us to do so many things for which we never really gave serious thought. This is a time to pray like Prahlada so that God sends a solution. This is a time to convert all these little pains into huge gains. And today, after that three and a half years of bringing discipline into my life, discovering my talents and devoting my time to help others, today I am so grateful to Swami for this chance that He has given me to work at Radio Sai. After that, you know, there was never a moment of sadness in my life because working in Radio Sai has been so much joy. It is so much ananda. Just like for so many of you, working in the organization gives you so much happiness, even though you have professional work. For so many people, organization gives a joy that the professional work does not give. So that is something that has happened to me also. And I feel this has happened because of utilizing the few 3.5 years that Swami gave me in prayer, in discipline, in devotion, and in learning to be with Swami. I think this is a beautiful time for all of us to ensure that we don't lose it. Let's grab this opportunity and let's pull the grace of Bhagwan to ourselves. Let us chant Gayatri Mantra. We have no idea of the power of this mantra. Swami says it is Gayatri Chandasa Mata. All the Gayatri mantras, you know, be it Surya Gayatri, be it Hiranya Gayatri, be it Devi Gayatri, all the Gayatri have come from this mother mantra, which is the Gayatri Mantra. Swami himself has chanted, and when children in Indian culture undergo Upanayanam, the sacred thread ceremony, Swami himself used to chant this mantra and make people chant. Fortunately, we have recording of Bhagwan chanting this mantra. So let us listen to Bhagwan. Let us purify ourselves. Let us purify our homes. Let us purify our nation. And let us see if in some ways, even as we contribute for the well-being of the world, we make best use of this opportunity to better our lives and become better instruments in His hand. We should all the time pray that, oh Lord, make me a better instrument in Your hand so that there is greater glory for You and so that I can be of service to humanity in whichever way You want. So let me end with a very beautiful bhajan. Soham, ध्यान करो सोहम ध्यान करो सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो सोहम ध्यान करो सोहम ब्रह्मा सोहम विष्णु सोहम ब्रह्मा सोहम विष्णु सोहम साई ध्यान करो सोहम आत्मा शिव परमात्मा सोहम आत्मा शिव परमात्मा ब्रह्मानंद से हृदय भरो ब्रह्मानंद से हृदय भरो सोहम ध्यान करो सोहम ध्यान करो. So let's meditate on Swami. Let's add to our spiritual energy. Let us help the world and let us become closer to Swami. Thank you so much.
Sairam to you all. Now it's a Q&A, a question and answer session. Vishu, there is a question that has been posted.
Yeah.
Sairam, Vishu sir, you have kindly mentioned about Atma Vicharya, self-inquiry. Mm-hmm. This would help to realize the self. Swami has said that we are spiritual beings with a human experience.
Correct.
In that sense, what more realization that is needed as we are spiritual beings? Secondly, it is said that we are all one self. So when one realizes self, doesn't all self in all realizes self?
Let me first talk about this Atma Vichara, self-inquiry. I do not want to go into the technical aspects of Atma Vichara because that is definitely a very dense subject. And in fact, our whole journey is this Atma Vichara, this self-realization. There were two devotees of Bhagwan who came to Swami way back in the 40s and 50s. And they used to participate in all the bhajan sessions and satsang sessions in the ashram. They used to go for darshan every day. They were also very spiritually inclined. But one day, Swami asked them, how much have you progressed? And they said that they feel they have made this progress. But Swami said, no, you have not made that progress at all. They said, Swami, how come, how are you saying this? Because we are doing all these things. Every day we are going for bhajans and every day we are not missing any session of darshan. Why do you say that we have not yet progressed at all? And Swami said, initially, in the spiritual path, you have to spend more time in these sadhanas. It could be 75%, 80% in these bhajans and seva and everything. That is the first initial years of your spiritual journey. But Swami said, but after that, it should become opposite. Your self-enquiry, the portion of your time for not just this bhajan and swadhyaya should reduce, and you should keep asking yourself, how much have I grown? So what should we ask ourselves? We should ask ourselves, how much have I grown in controlling my anger? How much have I grown in subduing my desires? How much have I grown in ensuring that I'm leading as simple a life as possible? How much have I grown in subduing my jealousy? We have to constantly keep asking, how much of love is now pouring out of my heart? There is no point trying to do bhajans and being regular for Nagar Sankirtan and all this. Swami says that is not even spirituality. Spirituality will start when we start reducing our anger, our desire, our greed and our jealousy and our hatred. So I feel, to put it very simply, if constantly we are doing this inquiry to ask today, how much of peace am I experiencing? How much of jealousy have I reduced? How much I am feeling happy for others? I think if we constantly ask these questions, then we will know that we are on the spiritual path and we are on self-inquiry. Because ultimately, you know, when we are saying realizing the self, what is realizing the self? Realizing the self is becoming so full of love that you don't see the difference in you and the other person at all. Everything is just one. It is just like one body. You don't feel the differentiation between you and the other person. That is what is unity. That was the ultimate stage of spiritual. Either you follow the path of bhakti or you follow the path of jnana or follow the path of karma. We are doing service so that we distinguish the difference between I and the other person. We are not doing service to help the other person. We are doing service so that one day I will forget that there is another person. There is no other. It is just one person. Just like one limb. Just like the hand does not think twice to help the leg when the thorn pricks the leg. That is the unity that is there in the body. We should feel the same unity with creation. That is why we do service. Why we do bhajans? We are doing bhajans to feel that unity with everyone around. That is what happened, you know, when Ramakrishna Paramahansa, when he had that cancer in his throat and when he asked Devi, you know, I'm having this pain, and Devi said, how does it matter? That when there are so many mouths eating, if one mouth does not eat, so what is the problem? So to feel that oneness through creation, through devotion, is the path of devotion, bhakti. And jnana is to constantly ask ourselves, who am I? Who am I? So that you realize that you are nothing. You are a small I. You are part of that big I. And there is only one I. So I feel our self-inquiry should be constantly to see how much have I decreased my ego? How much have I increased my love? How much have I increased my patience? How much have I increased my selflessness? If we are constantly doing this, then we are on the path of Atma Vichara. And that's what Swami asked us to do constantly. And once we do this, slowly we will not feel the difference with creation. And we will begin to feel that oneness in creation. And we don't have to do anything very technical. We don't have to follow Raja Yoga, this yoga, that yoga. As Swami said, we don't have to do all that. Let us follow just this principle of seeing how much we can love others selflessly. And slowly I think everything will open up. And we will begin to experience that oneness in creation.
Sarambara, there is another question. With regard to the efforts that we have to put in as our duty, especially in challenging times like this, what are your thoughts about our self-effort in doing our duties versus surrendering them to Swami? Because even in this situation, many devotees say we should go about doing our normal duties and that Swami will take care of our health and we should just surrender.
Yes. Definitely, we should surrender, but at the same time, we should not be stupid also. So, I feel when going by the times, there is always some parameters within which you can serve. At the same time, all I would say is, if your faith is so high, if your faith is that strong, then definitely nothing will affect you. I mean, it all depends on the level of our faith. If you want to go out and serve, God will definitely take care of you. But provided your faith is so strong, provided your connect with Swami is so strong that you are completely all the time covered in His grace and His protective gear. So it is a question of our faith. Like, just like Swami said, when someone said, Swami, why do we have hospitals when you are there to look after all of us? So Swami said, yes, that is very true. I can cure everyone. But for those who have that much faith that I will cure them, they need not go to the hospital. If they have that much faith, I will look after them. But for others, they can go to the hospital. And even in the hospital, I am only helping them. I am helping them through the help of doctors, because it is not as if the doctor gives you medicine, you will get cured. For that medicine to work in your body, that also God's grace is needed. So I feel it all depends on how strong is our faith. So to start off, we should try and do our duty along with the guidelines that have been given to us. And there are enough opportunities to do within the guidelines. So first we should start off with that. And yes, if you have surrendered to Swami, if you are experiencing that grace of Swami, if you are experiencing that protection of Swami, then nothing can stop you. Nothing will ever happen to you. You can go ahead and do anything you want. But for that, let us improve our faith and our surrender to that level.
Thank you, brother. There's another question. Sairam, Brother Bishu, just to clarify, if there is any particular time to chant Gayatri, because our family members chant at no specific time, if so, will there be any negative impact?
Generally, mantras are chanted at the Sandhya times. Sandhya is when the twilight times, at dusk and the dawn, and so basically when the night breaks into the day, when the forenoon breaks into the afternoon, when the evening breaks into the night. So generally that is a preferred time. And of course, Swami always talks about Brahma Muhurtam. You can get up early morning and chant. Definitely one Swami said how 4 to 8 a.m. is the Brahma Muhurtam. It is a good time to chant mantras similarly in the evening. But at the same time, Swami has told that, you know, this is a mantra you can chant at any time. I don't think there is any restriction on chanting the mantra. And Swami has told anybody can chant. Earlier, they used to say that women cannot chant, but Swami has made it so clear, and He sort of has democratized the mantra. Swami has made it like anybody can chant, and you can chant it at any time. In fact, I keep chanting it all the time. You can be in the shower, it can be traveling, you can be doing your work. The mantra will always protect you. And I don't think there is any negative impact. There is no negative impact if you chant it at any other time or anything of that sort. But I feel it is better to learn to chant it the way Swami has chanted it, so that we get maximum benefit.
Sairam brother, the next question is, you mentioned you went through a period of 3.5 years of not finding a job, and that was the time you discovered yourself. Now that unemployment is a big issue among youth, how does one stay positive during phases like this to focus on self-discovery, especially when they are breadwinner of the family and carrying financial burden and pressure of not having an income? And the second part of the question is, how a Sai youth can help and uplift such persons apart from trying to find them employment?
See, when Swami didn't give me a job, I did not sit in my home and just was crying, Swami, why are you doing this to me? When will this end? Why are you putting me through all these troubles? I was not going and crying my heart out to X, Y, and Z. You know, Swami didn't give me a job. Yes, I was praying and I was waiting, but I was utilizing that time to see how I can better myself. See, we don't know when an opportunity will come, but we should be ready for that opportunity. And the opportunity will come if you are not looking down but looking up. If you are looking down, then you won't be able to even see the opportunities. Most of the time what happens is, when we are sad, when we are depressed, then we are constantly not even looking up. I remember when I was supposed to go to the US 2 years ago, and my visa did not get approved. I did not get the visa. So that was a time when I also felt sad. You know, there's so many plans were made and why I was not being given this chance and so many things. But I did not really feel sad. And for the next 2-3 weeks, you know, didn't sit and cry in my home. I thought, okay, if this is what is Swami's wish, let's see how to make best of the opportunity. And then I heard that there is a Kumbh Mela happening in Ujjain in Madhya Pradesh. And I thought this is the best time to take my parents. My parents wanted to go to that Kumbh Mela, which happens once in 12 years. It was their lifetime's dream. And they were so happy to go there. And later on, I felt this is the best thing that could have happened to me, because I can go to the US maybe some other time, but my parents cannot have this experience because this happens once in 12 years. And by the time it's another 12 years, they'll be much older. They may not be able to even travel. What I'm trying to say is, we have to constantly be positive to see that, okay, today I have got this time. What can I do to improve myself? What can I do to learn something new? What can I do to improve a little interest or a little talent or a little knowledge that I have? If you are constantly thinking about it, and you should not think that, oh, I am myself distressed, what can I do for others? No, if you get a chance to help, you help. You never know. When you are helping someone, something else might happen and something, and you might get uplifted. It can be that, you know, you are, for example, walking on the road and you see a dog lying uncared for. I'm just giving some example. Or you see a child is lost or whatever, and you feel that, no, let me go and do this. You go and help that child or that dog, and after some time, I'm just giving an example where, you know, the owner might come and say, who are you? And you introduce yourself and I say, you are such a nice person. I want to give you a job. I want a nice person with a good heart, and you might just get a job. I'm just giving a random example that we should never think that the world has come to an end. We should use this opportunity to first better our skills, better our knowledge, and keep praying. Second thing, Swami will definitely open some door. Swami will definitely ensure, we should have the faith, Swami will definitely give some chance. And see whatever opportunity you get, if you have that time, you don't have a job, but if you've got this chance to do some service, do the service. You don't know how that can open up anything new. So let us never ever feel depressed. Let us feel that we should not feel that, oh God, I have a problem. We should feel that, oh problem, I have a God. We should have that confidence and that faith that Swami will look after us. Once we have that confidence, no, then we'll see that the universe will work for us. We will see, you know, because of that positivity, we'll attract that much of positivity. And we'll see beautiful things happening. Let's always think that, okay, today beautiful thing will happen. Today beautiful thing will happen. If it doesn't happen, no problem. You know that I am getting prepared. I'm getting prepared for something beautiful that is going to happen. And I'll tell you, something beautiful definitely happen. This is my experience. Whenever I go through something, I always will know something beautiful is going to happen. And it will happen. So it's a question of attracting that goodness to us. So let's keep that positive mindset and let's keep praying. I'm sure, you know, Swami will show some way.
Sairam brother, next question is, Sairam brother, have watched and heard devotees sharing their experience after chanting Gayatri Mantra. So I personally wanted to try and see, so I asked for something that would benefit many. Fixed a time, period and chanted, but it was a failure. There can be reasons, but how does Swami measure the depth of chanting mantra prayers? How are we actually supposed to do this?
I don't know why you are saying that it was a failure. If you are thinking that you chanted for someone's health and you did the chanting but nothing happened. The thing is, when we pray to the Lord, we expect the Lord to answer the way we expect Him to answer. For example, if I'm praying for the Lord to get a promotion and I don't get a promotion or I don't get a job, then I think that my prayers have not yielded result. My prayers are a failure. But that is not true. We do not know what is best for us. We think this is best for us. We think this job is best for us. We think this promotion is good for us. We think this is that person getting cured is the best thing. But we never know what is best for us. All our prayers definitely add to the well-being of that person. And God will wait for the right moment to do the best thing for us. We should have that confidence. Like, for example, You know, if a old lady is sitting on a chair and she's knitting, you know, she's knitting a sweater, and a little fellow goes down, and from down, if he's looking up and looking at the grandmother knitting, the little fellow will see that the threads that are dangling from grandmother knitting the sweater is all haphazard, because he's looking from down. So everything is so haphazard and it feels like everything is a mess. But actually, if you look from top, some beautiful sweater is actually happening. A nice design is being formed. So many times we do not have that perspective. We don't know what is happening. So just because I chanted for some time and nothing happened, if I think that, oh, this is a failure, I think that is a failure of our attitude. A mantra never fails. Only thing we can do is, yes, we can do it with more sincerity. And if you have really done it with a pure feeling and with selflessness, definitely it will give us benefit. But we do not know how and when. Probably Swami is waiting for the right time to give you something which is best for you. There could be so many reasons why a certain thing does not happen. So let us not measure the power of our prayers with our expectation of the result of our prayers. Let us pray selflessly and let us say, Swami, I am praying for this. You do what is best, and let us accept whatever comes as the best thing that has happened to us. And I'll tell you that with time, you will realize that though now it seems that, oh, nothing has happened, but with time you will see that what happened was absolutely the best thing. Like, for example, for me, you know, so many times I was feeling, Swami, why can't you give me a job? Because I was working in Bangalore hospital, and then I was not being given this super hospital in Puttaparthi. They said, why don't you come and join here? We want you because you already have an experience. And when they told and asked Swami, Swami said, no, he cannot work. So I was thinking, Swami, why can't I work? I have already have that experience and I can do very well. But Swami said, no. Then they said, someone said, Swami, can we take him in the book trust? Swami said, no, he will not work in book trust. It is very high, he cannot go. How will he go? When they said hospital, you know, it's very far, how will he go? So Swami had some reason, and not very silly reasons, that, you know, I cannot work. And he kept postponing and he didn't give me the job. And I was pretty frustrated. Yes, at that point in time, why are you not giving me the job? But, you know, after many months, finally when he gave me the reduced job, that's when I realized that, my God, this is the best thing that could have happened to me. After that, you know, I have only experienced joy because I'm so happy to work in radio science. So we don't know what is best for us. Not as if all the time when I was praying was waste. All the prayers were getting accumulated. It was getting accumulated. And, you know, Swami will choose the best time. And when that happens, it will be something very beautiful that you would have never imagined. So let us not get disheartened that, you know, we prayed and somebody didn't get cured. We never know. We don't know what is best for every individual. But what we definitely know is, if our prayer is sincere and we have done it with really selfless feeling from our heart, it is definitely something which will do good to that person. And we have to only wait for Bhagwan's judgment and for Bhagwan to work at his time.
The next question is, if everything is karma, why then should I worship and seek God?
As Swami says, yes, whatever we are going through is karma. Whatever we are experiencing now is what we have created for ourselves. I think this is something which is very important. If someone does anything wrong to us, if someone scolds us or someone misbehaves with us or someone insults us, then, you know, we feel sad and we feel this person is responsible for this, or this person did not behave with me, this person is the reason for my sadness. Many times we hold other people responsible for our problems. If we lost a job, then we say, okay, that person was not good. Or if he didn't get good marks, then we say that teacher was not good. While we normally think like this, but the actual correct way to think is, okay, I have done what is best. Whatever I am experiencing, if this insult is coming to me, it's because I have done something in the past that is coming back to me. If I'm losing this job, then maybe it is my karma. Let me not blame the employer. Let me not blame this person. Let me not blame this teacher. I think if we have this attitude, then one, we will not have hatred. We will not have anger against the other person. If I feel that this person did this to me, then every time I see that person, then I will have hatred towards him. I will not want to talk to him. I will want to distance myself from him. And, you know, I will have all these negative feelings. And the more negativity we have, again, we attract more negativity to ourselves. So it's very important that whatever we are experiencing, we should tell ourselves that no one else is responsible. It is I who is responsible. If good is happening, it is because of some good that I have done, it is coming back to me. If some bad is happening, it is no outside person. If now I'm experiencing something bad because it's something that I've done in the past, from now if I do good, in the future I will experience the good. And this is the truth. So first thing is, yes, we have to all the time feel that nobody outside is responsible. I am myself responsible. And then if I pray to God, as Swami says, even if a medicine is there, the medicine after its expiry date has no potency. So even if we have to walk, say, on thorns, God's grace will ensure, if we pray, that God will give us a slipper. Swami says, if you have to walk on thorns, I cannot remove the thorns, but what I can do is I will give you a slipper, so that as you walk on the thorns, it will not affect you. If you have to walk in the rain, I will not stop the rain for your sake, but what I can do is I can give you an umbrella, so that as you are going through that, you will not feel wet and you will not be that much troubled. So that is how prayers can help. If we are praying, then we don't know the power of the grace of the Lord. Swami says, even if you have a room that is dark for 10,000 years, you come and put on the switch, the darkness of 10,000 years will disappear in 1 second. So that is how the power of prayer is. So while we have to experience what we are undergoing, if we pray and if we draw the grace of the divine, this journey will become easy. This journey will become less difficult for us.
Sir, so the next question is, what are the messages Swami has given to students who are doing higher studies and at the same time involved in center activities? Time involved in both and how to prioritize?
I think this is something that so many youth are constantly thinking, how to balance the time for their personal activities and for center activities. But when I was in Nepal and I was talking to the youth leader there, and I asked him the same question, you know, how are you able to balance both? And you're giving so much time to the organization, it is not affecting your work, because he is an entrepreneur. He has started a new company, a startup, and they are just making the company now. So there is so much work. But at the same time, I saw him that he was spending so much time in the organization. And he told me that working in the organization has actually helped him to become better in his professional work. Working in the organization, working with people, leading activities in the organization has improved his leadership skills to such a great extent that is helping him immensely in the organization. So I feel that if we constantly think that if we work for the organization, we were losing out, then we will lose out doing work for the organization, we will lose out in our professional work also. If we postpone God in our lives get postponed. So we should, I feel, not lose the chance to give time for the organization, give time for Swami's work. Yes, we have a professional work. So we have to see how to give priority, in the sense that, yes, it's not as if we have to leave your organization, leave your professional work and just do organizational work. Both are important for us. So every day, for example, Dr. Narendra Reddy, who is the international chairman, he says that, you know, every Thursday he has bhajans in his house. And he tells me that Swami arranges in such a manner that every Thursday somehow in his clinic he gets free. Someone stands in for him. Somehow something happens and he is able to give the time for the organization. So if we have that interest, no, Swami, I want to do this, I feel Swami will definitely create those opportunities for us. If you're all the time looking for excuse to not do work for the organization, then, you know, you will find a million reasons why you should not be involved. I will give you the example of one person from Madhya Pradesh. He is the Sevadal coordinator. So every month, whenever there is a chance for Seva from Madhya Pradesh in Prashanthi Nilayam, he is all the time in Prashanthi Nilayam. So every year he spends 15 days, twice in Prashanthi Nilayam, and he has a very big industry. So once I asked him, does it affect your production and your industry? And he said that, you know, even I used to worry about that. So once what happened, there was one particular engineering design that he had to approve. And he did not have the time. He came to Prashanthi Nilayam because he was an engineering company. They were producing many iron equipments. So in his absence, another person did the engineering, and, you know, so the production started. So when he went back, he saw that 200 pieces of that product was produced. And when now they told the client to take, the client said that the product has a defect. Somewhere something has gone wrong. The specifications given for the product was not adhered to, so I will not take the product. And now this man, he was feeling so sad. He felt, see, if I was there in Madhya Pradesh, then this mistake would not have happened because I left it to some other person and that person did not take proper care. Now I have 200 pieces of this product which are defective. And, you know, he was feeling very sad and he's praying to Swami. Next day, he got a call from another person for an order. And when the other person gave the specifications, and now when this person looked at the specifications, he saw that the specifications of the new product is exactly the same as the product that he has produced 200 pieces. He said, you know, I already have this product. Do you want this product? And the person said, yes, this is exactly what I want. So what was a defect actually turned out to be the correct product for someone else. So we never know how Swami will take care of us. But we should have that thing clear in our heart that, no, I want to do this for Swami. Swami will definitely look after us. We should have that conviction, look after that. At the same time, it was not as if he was leaving all his professional work and is sitting in Patti. No, every year, twice he comes to Patti for Seva. That he did not want to miss. So when he looked after that, Swami looked after his entire business. So whatever responsibility we have got, whatever chance we have got, I think we should try and see how we can discharge that best. Take whatever you can. It's not as if you have to do everything. Take whatever you, one or two things that you think you can. Take one and do that sincerely. And ensure that when you do it with all your heart, then Swami will definitely look after.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Thanks for the answer, Bishu. My clarification is that Swami has said that we are spiritual beings with the human experience.
Correct.
And we are in for self-realization further. I understood what you said, that we should check ourselves all the time.
Yes.
How much anger still we have and so on, so that
yes,
we know that we cannot realize. But being spiritual beings, in that sense, in the concept of we being the spiritual beings, why we should have any further room for realization? That is one part of the question. The second part is we speak of self-realization. Maybe one self has realized in the Jivatma, and suppose that realization takes place, as that one self is already realized, and we all also say all self is one, the self is same, one and the same in everybody and so on, whether all selves in all beings also realize at the same time. So there are two questions, please.
So the first question, you said we are spiritual beings having a human experience. So, which is very true. The thing is, as Swami says, there is nothing for us to learn. Only thing that we have to do is to only uncover. Swami says that, you know, we are body, mind and atma. But what does Swami say? You are not the body. The body is a water bubble. You are not the mind. The mind is a mad monkey. You are the atma. So, if constantly we can tell ourselves that I'm not the body, I'm not the mind, then we are removing all those layers from our personality, what is not truly us. So I feel self-inquiry is only uncovering. Yes, we are spiritual beings, but only when we remove all those layers from our being, which is covering this light, will the light become effulgent. So whole journey is somehow to remove all these layers, remove all that is anatma, as they say, from atma. The body is anatma, the world is anatma, the mind is anatma. So to remove all that is anatma, remove all that is not the atma from the atma, is this whole process of spiritual evolution. And this process can be done through karma, bhakti, jnana. So as you said, yes, we are spiritual beings, but we are in this journey to uncover that experience. Yeah.
So I remember the next question, and this would be the last one. Won't it be so easy for all if they start to chant Gayatri and ask for things?
As I said before, yes, you can definitely chant Gayatri and ask for things, but many times we do not know what is good for us. I can chant Gayatri and tell Swami, please ensure that I have a trip to Sri Lanka. Please ensure I give me a trip to Sri Lanka, give me a trip to Sri Lanka. And if I keep on praying for that, maybe Swami will arrange for my trip to Sri Lanka. But later on, I will realize, and Swami told what actually I wanted to send you to Sri Lanka, Australia and Canada, but you only wanted Sri Lanka, so I give you only Sri Lanka. So that's what will happen. Many times when we ask, we do not know what is good for us. So it is always safe to pray and leave it to Him to decide what is good for us. But at the same time, you know, when we see someone is not well, we want to pray. We can always pray for that person. We can always now like pray for the world. So we can always chant and tell Swami that, Swami, please help the world. So when we are very clear about something, we can ask. But in asking, there is always this risk. But if you are so desperate about something which you are very clear, you can ask. But as I said, there is a little risk in asking, but I leave it to you. But you can definitely leave it to Swami and pray for everyone. That is definitely the only prayer that Swami has said you should be doing. You know, when you selflessly pray for someone, then there is no problem. When you selflessly pray for the world, and one thing we should also know, when you pray for someone, when you know, Swami is like a mother. If you are thinking so much about others, don't you think He will look after you? He will definitely look after you. So we should have that confidence. Yes, pray for everyone. That is the best thing to do. But if you want to pray for something very specific, you can pray for that also. But be ready for whatever result that prayer gives.
Sai Ram brother, one last question. Sai Ram brother, how can we involve our children, I mean those who are still schooling, in our beloved Swami's spiritual path? How can we involve them to do service?
I think that is what is done in the Bal Vikas. Simple things that we can do with children is, you know, I think at a starting level, teach them these mantras. For example, if we ensure that our child every morning chants Gayatri mantra 21 times or 108 times before we give breakfast, that will definitely help to improve the IQ, improve the memory. If we ensure that our child all the time reads some good literature, if we spend time and tell stories about Swami, tell stories about our culture, about values, I think definitely we are putting them onto the Godward path. That is something which will help them to have great foundation. And when we are going out for service activities, we can always take our children along with us and they can join. Just like so many Bal Vikas children, whenever Gram Seva used to happen in Prashant Nilayam, while the big brothers would serve clothes and food, the little ones would serve water. So I think I used to go along with my father for every service activity. There was an adopted village where my father and so many uncles used to go, and they used to serve these tribal areas. I used to go along with them and do little things. So I think there are enough opportunities for children in every service activity that we do. But most important is to ensure that the children have a strong foundation of love for God. And as much time we spend with them in connecting them to God, in building their faith in God, knowing that it is God who is going to be with them and protect them, that will help them greatly in life as they go forward.
Thank you so much, Bishop.
Sarang.